Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
From the depths of the sea, this is Transmissions from Atlantis, a sci-fi, fantasy, and horror podcast with a special emphasis on Doctor Who. Featuring the creators of Seekers of the Lost Worlds, Rita and J.C. Della Torre.
Hello everybody, my name is J.C. Della Torre.
And I'm Rita Della Torre.
And this is episode 133 of Transmissions from Atlantis. This is our special Dragon Con 2017 preview episode.
Yay!
So we've got a jam-packed episode for you with a whole bunch of interviews. We'll be talking about where we're going to be for Dragon Con. For our Doctor Who segment, we're going to be telling you what's going on BritTrack. Let me just say, there's a whole bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So to get things started, though, as we always do, we'll give a rapid-fire segment. This will be a very brief rapid-fire segment.
Yeah, it's rapid-fire.
It's rapid-fire. So we'll be coming right back with that. All right, folks. Rapid-fire.
So, Twin Peaks, we actually had some movement finally.
Yes, it was probably one of the best episodes of the season of Twin Peaks since the season premiere.
We're actually seeing some connections being made.
Spoilers.
You know, Special Agent Cole is finally making that connection to Dougie Jones, so...
Yep.
Is he finally gonna find Coop?
Spoilers.
Yep, and of course, now that Andy's gone to the White Lodge, it's going to be really interesting to see if that helps bring Coop back.
Yeah, and we're gonna have to see who the interesting black-haired lady is.
Yes. Who looks Oriental. You don't think it's the sheriff's old girlfriend that was
lost in
the doorknob or something. I don't remember exactly what happened to her.
Yeah, I don't remember it either, but I would say no, but she's... this character will be intriguing. Things are finally starting to get weird again.
Yes, and I think the cool thing about it is that we're finally starting to see all the threads that David Lynch has set in place start to weave together to maybe have a final story. I mean, we're never going to get everything from David Lynch because he just doesn't give you everything.
No, he doesn't, and he shouldn't.
But at least it might lead to giving us a little more information about what the hell's going on in Twin Peaks and maybe fixing Dale Cooper, so if there is a season 4, we'll have the real Dale Cooper and not Dougie Coop.
Spoilers.
Oh, and there was more talk about the Blue Rose. We saw David Bowie's character again.
Yep, Philip Jeffries.
Yeah.
So Philip Jeffries showed up, and it also brought to light something that our friend Rachel mentioned, where in Fire Walk With Me, Philip Jeffries came in and pointed to Coop and said, do you know who that is? And it's kind of like, So even then, it's almost like Philip Jeffries knew that Coop was going to be separated into a doppelganger.
All right, so moving on, let's talk Game of Thrones.
So this episode of Game of Thrones was more of a setup episode, I would say.
Yes, but there were still some rather interesting things that went on during this episode. Like, for example...
Spoilers.
I think his name is Drago, the Black Dragon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drago's reaction to Jon.
Mm-hmm. That was very, very interesting.
I think that was probably the most epic thing that happened in that episode.
And of course, now Daenerys is giving googly eyes to Jon because he's Draco approved, so.
Exactly. It's like, oh, well, huh, this is interesting. Not to mention the whole thing with between Arya and Baelish. Mm-hmm. I think that Baelish thinks he's setting up Arya for something, but I think Arya's probably a step behind him.
Yep. And I know it was kind of a throwaway line, but when Samwell Tarly was still in the...
Yes, I wonder if anybody else caught Gilly's line.
Yes.
Spoilers.
When she was reading from that book. Hello?
Yeah. That's basically saying Jon Snow may not be a bastard.
And he may be a direct line to the throne for the Targaryens.
Yes. Which means it's going to be a kissing cousins kind of thing.
Well, the Targaryens have no problems marrying brothers and sisters.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know if anybody caught that, but we sure did.
Ooh, yes.
So, like I said, it was more of an episode where all the chess pieces were being laid out. And now I think the next episode is going to be where all the crap hits the fan, because it looks like, at least from the preview, Jon's expedition into the north is not going so well beyond the wall.
I've seen two memes about this.
Yes.
The first meme is the A-team.
Yes.
You saw that meme,
yes,
right?
Yes, I saw that.
And the other meme is them about to go into a dungeon like you do in massive multiplayer games.
Uh-huh, with all the...
where you got the barbarians and the warrior and the and the archer and so on and so forth.
It's like a game quest, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, it's like totally a game quest. Sure. But next week's episode should be super awesome.
Yep. All right. Well, believe it or not, that's going to do it for Rapid Fire. We told you it was going to be short and sweet. So coming up next, we talk Dragon Con. And we've got a lot to talk about.
Do you like wrestling?
What?
Do you like wrestling? Do you like podcasts?
What?
I said, do you like podcasts?
Oh, yeah!
Then do we have the podcast for you?
Everybody's gonna fight.
No, it's entirely free. We have a discussion about wrestling topic bi-monthly.
Two. Three.
It's the
ESO Pro Wrestling Roundtable.
It's a podcast dedicated entirely to pro wrestling, past, present, and future.
Oh, will you stop?
There are also reviews, previews, and interviews. So tune in at esopodcast.com, and also be sure to check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/groups/ESO Pro.
And you can't beat that. The kid, you dig that. Cause that's the bottom line. Have a nice day.
All right, folks, it's time to talk Dragon Con. Dragon Con 2017 is upon us. Labor Day weekend, it's only a couple weeks away. This will be the last podcast before Dragon Con for us.
Yeah, because we're just going to have way too much going on, you know, the next couple weeks to be able to do another podcast.
Exactly. So this is basically our final preview of Dragon Con before we hit Dragon Con, and the next time you'll hear us is after we've come back from Dragon Con, trying to recover from Dragon Con.
And I'm sure we'll have caught the con crud and all that other jazz.
So for those of you that have been living under a rock or haven't listened to our show for the last 5 years, tell them what Dragon Con is, Rita.
Dragon Con is a fan-run convention. It is the largest fan-run convention in the East Coast. I mean, you're talking around 80 to 90,000 people a year. It's massive.
Yep.
So the best way to describe Dragon Con, you have a couple dozen different conventions that are under the Dragon Con umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a ton of tracks. You've got American Sci-Fi Classics. Well, we no longer have a Whedonverse track because now that's been kind of split and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and moved on to other places. There is the Sci-Fi Military. There's Brit Track. There's the Science Track. There's
Star Trek.
Yeah, the Trek Wars. Track. There's the Star Wars track. Yeah. There's so many different tracks. I mean, if anything that you love can be found in Dragon Con. Gaming, anime,
Films,
indie films, anything sci-fi, fantasy, horror, you name it, urban fantasy.
You have paranormals right next to the skeptics. I mean, it's crazy.
And we're not just talking about films and television. We're talking books. We're talking comics. We're talking music. Anything you can think of, it falls under Dragon Con.
Yeah, San Diego gets all the press because, you know, all the big movie companies and whatnot come up and have their big reveals at San Diego Comic Con. But where the fans really go is Dragon Con.
Because it is a 24/7 giant nerd party.
Yes.
And we mean party. I mean, you can wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, go to the Marriott, and there are still hundreds of people there drinking, wearing costumes, having fun.
Yep, and we're not stuck in some convention center. Dragon Con is actually spread between 5 hotels in downtown Atlanta.
Yeah, so it's really, really spectacular to see it all. Not to mention even the vendor rooms are, you know, beyond
the vendor rooms have their own building.
Yeah, the vendor rooms are actually in their own separate building, not even hosted in one of the hotels.
Right.
And it takes up 2 floors of said building.
Yes, exactly. So it's a crazy, crazy time. There are parties going on all the time. Every night during the entire run of the convention, there is some huge party going on that you can go to.
Usually more than one.
Exactly. Usually you have to pick and choose. Now, Rita and I are usually able to be found somewhere around the American Sci-Fi Classics track and Brit track because of Doctor Who. Although, the last few years we haven't gone to Brit track too often simply because it was in the Sheridan and that's too damn far.
Yeah, at least for us it was a bit far.
But this year, Brit track moves to the Hilton.
And so yay, now we get to enjoy the Brit track.
Which happens to be our hotel. So we're going to be at Brit track a lot. We are always, always, always at the American Sci-Fi Classics track. We love Joe Crow. You heard him last week on our show. And in fact, we're actually doing a few panels for Joe.
All right. So Saturday at 8:30 p.m., must come for this one, Lost Boys and 80s Vampires.
And I am so jelly I am not on that panel.
Eh.
In fact, I should be on that panel because I know more about 80s vampires than you do.
Yeah, we'll see.
You weren't even born yet.
Whatever.
You were like 3 years old.
Whatever.
You know it's true.
All right, so Sunday, again with the American Sci-Fi Classics, you can find us on the Highlander TV series, even though I'm jelly because I'm not on this panel, but I plan on sneaking onto it anyway.
You're going to crash it?
I'll crash it. Just like I know you're going to crash Lost Boys and 80s Vampires.
I might. You don't know.
And then at 1 p.m. Sunday, we are going to be talking Fifth Element, remembering your multipass for 20 years.
Yes, it's the 20th anniversary. Lilo
Dallas multipass.
It's the 20th anniversary of freaking Fifth Element. Can you believe that? It's hard to think of the Fifth Element as a 20-year-old movie.
I know.
Because of the special effects stand up even today.
It does, and it's amazing. And you can see a lot of the work in Fifth Element, you know, put into Valerian.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on, 8:30 p.m. on Sunday, Jason's going to be on the Crawl Witness the Glaive panel.
Yeah, so this panel is going to be interesting because it's not going to be a full panel. It's going to be a short panel. And then right after we're done with the panel, and the panel's probably going to be like 10, 15 minutes, maybe 30 at the most, right? Then we're watching Crawl.
And we actually watched it recently. I forgot how freaking awesome that movie was.
If you have not seen Crawl, it is...
Ever.
It is an 80s icon movie, a sci-fi fantasy movie you must watch. So you must be there on Sunday at 8:30 p.m. and watch this movie, because if not, you have deprived yourself in life.
Yes, you have. All right. So that does it for our schedule, and those are the panels we're going to be on.
Now, we have some big-time interviews coming up, and starting it off, we're going to have James and Karen, the directors of Military Sci-Fi. Let's see what that sounded like.
All right, folks, joining us now is the track directors for Military Sci-Fi, James and Karen Henson. How's it going, guys?
It's going great.
All right.
So thank you so much for joining us. You know, we're doing our DragonCon podcast, so we're talking to a lot of the track directors about their different tracks. And one of our favorites has always been Military Sci-Fi. We're huge Firefly fans, as well as Stargate and Battlestar Galactica. So your track is right up our alley. So tell us what you got going on this year.
We've got a lot of stuff going on this year. We've actually got, I think it's 18 guest panels with actors now.
Wow.
And in-room panels.
Yeah, full schedule in-room. We have three major charity events for the weekend. Friday's the Can't Stop the Signal Dance, which is the Firefly-themed party we're having. Saturday, we have our usual charity and games night, and then the 10th annual Don S. Davis charity auctions on Sunday.
Yeah, we're very familiar with the old Stargate track that used to be at Dragon Con, and Jennifer was the one that had started out that charity. Well, she didn't start it out, but I think she kind of took it over, and it was amazing the stuff that you guys did with the Don S. Davis charities. I mean, every year it seems to be such an amazing thing.
We actually held a surprise birthday party for Jason about 4 years ago at that event.
When I turned, 40 years old.
Yes.
It happens to us all eventually.
Yeah, his birthday fell right during Dragon Con, and he was turning 40, so I reached out to Jennifer.
Let's not talk about this anymore. It makes me depressed.
Hey, I'm turning 40 this year myself.
That's right. So maybe turn
around a fair play. We welcome Dragon Con members of all ages.
So, not to get off track though, but we really love the charities that you guys do. What is going to be the main focus of the charities this year?
Well, this year, of course, the main charity is Special Olympics Georgia, which is the con charity that they've chosen for 2017. And so anything that we collect in the course of charitable donations at our dance on Friday or the games night on Saturday, or, of course, the Don S. Davis, will go to that charity.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Obviously, a lot of the listeners are interested in the specific guests that you have. I know you can't tell us everybody yet, because some are approved, some aren't approved. So who can you tell us? I know you guys are having a big Stargate turnout this year, it seems like.
Out of nowhere. But we are so grateful. we actually have quite a few people that, well, we can, I think, discuss just about everybody now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and just as a quick note for guests, we now cover 9 different fandoms.
Awesome.
So we have guests from almost all of them. Some of our guests include, well, of course, Gigi Edgley is going to be here for Farscape. So we have her coming. We also have the Stargate guests that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you cannot get past Chris Judge.
Of course.
He is absolutely amazing, and he was the first one announced for our Stargate guests, and essentially everybody started flipping out at that point, especially in our Facebook group. You can always go over there and check out what we have on offer, and that is Military Sci-Fi Media at DragonCon on Facebook as a group. But we have, of course, with him, he's going to be bringing along Jewel State.
Ooh.
And that is going to be interesting, because not only do we have Jewel for Atlantis, because she was Dr. Keller on that show, but she is also going to be here, and she, I believe we can tell them that, is going to be doing one Firefly panel.
Fantastic.
We are still working on scheduling on that, but she really wanted to do that and offer that to the fans. So that is something we're working on for her. And also for Stargate, we have Rachel Luttrell and Joe Flanagan. So a lot of people there. And when you get to Battlestar Galactica, we have everybody. Just
that's what it feels like.
Just a quick list. Trisha Helfer, obviously, and she's going to be spending some of her time, of course, with the Lucifer fandom. If you haven't caught her on that, she's amazing.
Yes, she is.
And Michael Hogan's going to be there. Katie Sackhoff was recently announced. Rekha Sharma will be there. Kate Vernon, just as a few. Rick Worthy. And interestingly enough, Rick actually played the System Lord in SG-1, so he has a couple connections, and he's currently in The Magicians, if you haven't checked that out.
Yes, so love The Magicians. Great show.
And those are just a few of those guests that we're going to be having. We also have quite a few folks interested in our Starship Troopers anniversary guests, and that's going to be Dina Meyer, who's doing some other stuff for Birds of Prey as well, Patrick Muldoon, and also Casper Van Dien.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yep. You guys got the old Starship Troopers all back together again. That's amazing.
Yeah, and well, we'd love to have MPH, but, you know. He's doing okay, even without us. Yeah. We'll just for now. And additionally, we have added Buck Rogers to our group this year. Huh. So we are going to be having Gil Gerard here, and Felix Silla will be also appearing on at least one or two of those panels, and Aaron Gray will be making an appearance for us too.
Wow,
that is quite a lineup you guys have this year.
Yeah, I mean, who did you guys bribe to get so many great guests? Wow.
I don't think we have that kind of money. We are just appreciating the gift.
Yeah, wow. That's
maybe part of it has to do with the fact that the Stargate, now military sci-fi track, has always been the track that brought in the most money for charity.
Yeah.
I'm sure that doesn't hurt our position, but part of it is when we took over these 9 fandoms, that takes in a lot of guest territory for guests that Dragon Con has traditionally been very fond of having here and that fans have wanted. So we're just reaping the benefits.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, the big news coming out of San Diego Comic-Con was not necessarily a reboot, but an addition to the Stargate fandom, where I guess they're going to have these prequel webisodes. What do you think of Origins?
Well, it's a prequel that features Catherine when she's a young girl before we get to SG-1 or even the movie. So it'll be some exciting new territory to take a look at, especially since we didn't really see much of her involvement with the Stargate until, you know, her fiancé finally wandered through in the diver's suit and disappeared. So,
yep.
And we are not sure exactly yet, since that was a relatively recent development, how it will be incorporated into our track, but we are going to be doing some things. We're in talks to seeing if we can, you know, discuss a few things for promotional purposes or something.
Yep.
But yeah, that is one of those things that's very much on our radar, because when we planned our 20th anniversary of SG-1 panel, we were thinking, okay, we're just going to celebrate the 20th anniversary of SG-1. It's going to be awesome. We'll talk about our memories. And then they announced, hey, guess what? New Stargate.
Yes.
And, so that changed things a little.
And, of course, there's been the rumors out there about, new films series with Roland and company. So, is that dead now, or is this kind of like a precursor to that?
Well, Dean Devlin and Roland have been trying really hard to get those 3 movies going, because it was originally written to be a trilogy, and they didn't think the original movie would do so well, so they didn't actually pitch or try to get the other 2 movies going.
Right.
So now they're trying to find a way to get the support to reboot that and do the original trilogy how they envisioned it. It does throw out pretty much everything SG-1 and after from that part of the universe, kind of like a Star Trek reboot where it's an alternate
timeline.
Yes.
But we would be excited to see those movies come back and be made for sure.
And of course, there's always been rumors of, you know, them trying to bring back Starship Troopers again, but I just haven't seen any kind of development on that. It looks like it's more like development hell.
Starship Troopers, you know, has the three movies that we've seen, the live action movies, and a 3D animated series following the adventures when they first get into the mobile infantry. But there's actually a new animated movie coming out here in August.
I wasn't aware of that. Oh, wow.
Casper Van Dien and Dina Meyer do voices on.
Fantastic.
So there is new material coming out for Starship Troopers.
I did not know that. Wow, that's great news. And, of course, everybody wants Firefly back at some point.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Do you think Firefly will ever return?
It will always live in our hearts. No, actually, one of the things we're really excited about is that Nathan Fillion is coming to the con, but we're not actually allowed to have him as our personal guest.
No.
But, you know, we can go see him.
Yes.
And he is only going to be there on that Friday. But that's, of course, one of the most frequently asked questions, really, for any person who's ever been on Firefly. And I feel like many of them would love to get involved if there was such a thing. But there would have to be some reason or justification. It's been a while to just kind of pick back up where everything left off. There would have to be a kind of a retooling of the entire point, and that might kill the magic a little.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see.
Yeah, kind of like Twin Peaks with the 25 years later, and it's a similar show, but it's not the same show.
Right.
All right, folks. Well, when you guys are in the West End this year still?
Yes, we are actually back in the West End.
Yes.
Last year you
weren't in the West End, right? You were somewhere else.
We were in America Smart Building 2.
Floor 4.
And that proved to be rather challenging. This year, however, we are going to be in the West End in Chastain D and E. Okay. So when you're approaching from the Peachtree Street level, it's going to be that first set of rooms to your right. So we are right there near the action. In fact, our windows will face the parade route.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I remember last year we were actually up in that area where your track was, and it was so empty most of the time, and we figured that was just not a smart move for Dragon Con to put you guys there, I think.
Well, I believe really no one quite knew what to expect from that, really. I don't think anyone quite saw that it was going to go where it went.
Yeah.
But, and Dragon Con assured us, even during the convention, that they would make sure that things were different the next year. So, I mean, I absolutely, we made the best of what we could, but I think that Dragon Con also was making the best of what they could based on that space and what it allowed.
Yeah. It definitely sounds like they're making amends with the amount of guests that they've given you and the prime location. And
we certainly can't complain.
That's for sure. Absolutely. If folks want to find out more information on the military sci-fi track, what's the best place for them to go?
Right now, the best place to find most current information is going to be our group on Facebook, Military Sci-Fi Media at Dragon Con. That's how they can find us. We put all of our guest announcements there, discussions about the schedule, all of our stuff is there. We also have a website that is linked from the main DragonCon.org page. Just like all the other tracks. Mm-hmm. We have our Twitter, MSFM at DC. So we're all over social media trying to make sure we can keep up with all the fans and keep them informed.
Fantastic. James, Karen, thank you so much for joining us on Transmissions from Atlantis, and we look forward to seeing you guys.
Thanks for having us, and can't wait to see you at Con.
All right, thanks to James and Karen. Next up, we have Carol Malcolm, the director for Urban Fantasy. So let's talk to Carol. All right, folks, joining us now is Carol Malcolm. She is the director of the Urban Fantasy track at Dragon Con. And Carol, I don't know if we've ever had you on the show before. This might be the first time with us.
It is the first time, and I'm honored to be here. Thank you very much.
Yes, it's a very much pleasure to have you on, and You know, your trek actually has a lot of the things we love. You know, Lucifer, Supernatural, obviously Sleepy Hollow before it got its early demise. So you've got a lot of great stuff that we love. So how did the urban fantasy track come about? I mean, how long has it been going on?
Well, this is actually the fifth year of the track.
Oh, wow.
And the history is that if you've been involved with Dragon Con for longer than that amount of time, you may remember a track called Dark Fantasy.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, which prior to that time, I mean, even before it was called that, was, I believe, called Gothic Shadows and or something like to that effect. But then it became this dark fantasy track so that it could, you know, encompass, you know, a wider variety of topics. And the person who was running the track was given a lot of different authors to cover, a lot of them in the urban fantasy field.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got involved working with him in 2008 because he was looking for someone to help him out with all of these, you know, all of this new type of material. And I was lucky enough to be taken on. And after 5 years with this trend not slowing down, but actually continuing, and it became this really big behemoth to have all of these different types of, you know, types of things under this one umbrella, that he had suggested a split between horror and urban fantasy.
Gotcha.
And so that came about, and he kept horror, and I was asked to come on with urban fantasy, and that's pretty much how it all started.
Wow. So urban fantasy, I guess, is a genre where I guess all the supernatural beings like demons and obviously vampires and things like that kind of all falls into your wheelhouse there, right?
Yes, that is correct. And urban fantasy, it does involve those supernatural creatures, but it's also a recognizable world for the most part. Now, sometimes you'll get things like if you're magicians fans,
mm-hmm.
where you have, you know, part of the story takes place in our world, but there's magic, but then there's also this, you know, the other parts of the story that are in this other place.
Fillory and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, not a very pleasant place, but yes. And so that's the main difference, I think, to help people distinguish between urban fantasy and other sorts of fantasy,
mm-hmm.
is that aside from the supernatural, the fact that it's a recognizable world, something that looks just like our world, even if it really isn't, but it's not a whole different, you know, fantasy creation such as you would find in Tolkien or something.
Sure. Now, of course, as we found out talking to Dan Carroll, apparently the Whedonverse track is no more. So you guys got to inherit Buffy and Angel.
That is correct. That is correct.
So talk a little bit about actually getting Buffy and Angel, which has to be a big get for you guys.
It really and truly is. I was a Buffy fan from day one. I watched it when it was actually first on, you know, airing. And so that was my first fandom and probably the only one that I ever came close to maybe going off the edge with, just a tad. You know, that, and even though I do really love all of the shows, we have 15 this year that we get to cover on the track, that Buffy was my, you know, my kind of entrance, not so much into the genre necessarily, but since it was, you know, one of the first shows,
mm-hmm.
that really could be called urban fantasy that, you know, that people were aware of, then, you know, it's a great introduction just to that whole genre anyway.
Absolutely.
I have a question for you. So what is your lineup this year for guests? I mean, I'm assuming there's probably some guests you can tell us about and some you can't. So what kind of guests are you guys looking at this year? for your track?
Well, we are very fortunate. Now, the thing about the track is that in addition to media, I also cover books. So which is an ideal situation for me because I'm a huge fan of urban fantasy in both mediums, and I this gives me a chance to really work with both. But the guests that we have in terms of media this year, we do have, well, you mentioned Buffy and Angel. We have so far three lovely ladies coming to join us, Charisma Carpenter, Julie Benz, and Claire Kramer will all be with us, yes. And you mentioned Lucifer earlier, and we do have Leslie Ann Brandt and Kevin Alejandro and Trisha Helfer all coming to con this year, something that we're also very excited about. And then we're very, very fortunate to have most of the cast of Wynonna Earp coming to join us. So, yes, it's going to be a very big year. And in terms of author guests, I believe at last count I have 43.
Oh, wow.
That I'm actually, scheduling and using in different programming and everything. And we've been very fortunate ever since the formation of the track to really get a lot of the better known, the big names in the field, let's put it that way.
Wow.
And it's we're very fortunate in that regard. And Jim Butcher will be back with us this year, and Patricia Briggs, who came for the very first time last year, is also coming back, and we're thrilled to have her. And Laurel K. Hamilton and Sherilyn Kenyon, who are veterans of Dragon Con, that neither was there last year, but they're both back this year. And then in her very first Dragon Con appearance, which has the track director and all of her volunteers and many attendees very excited, Kim Harrison.
Oh.
So we've got a very big year.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So tell us, do you guys have any big events you're going to be doing this year?
But yes, actually we do. We have a party that we will be hosting on Friday night in the Savannah Ballroom, which is convenient for us since we're in the Westin. And that we do have that on the Dragon Con events page, as well as on the track Facebook page. There is mention made of that. So under events, it's listed there. We also will be having the Buffy Horror Picture Show, two showings of that on Saturday evening. And
awesome.
I'm really looking forward to doing that, as are a number of people. That was one of the biggest questions I got lots of times from people once the news was out that the Whedon track was disbanded and that we were inheriting Buffy and Angel. That was, people wanted to know, what about the horror show?
Well, you gotta have it.
Yeah, we gotta have it. So yes, we're having that. And then on Sunday night, we are actually doing the very first screening of the full-length feature film. It's a fan film created around the Dresden universe, Jim Butcher's Dresden Files, yes. So we're very excited about that as well, and that will be Sunday night in the Savannah Ballroom.
That
so,
is very cool.
Very
so
cool.
You guys definitely have a lot going on. It's going to be awesome. I don't think I've ever seen the Buffy Horror Picture Show.
You haven't? Yeah, that's right. We haven't seen that, have we?
No, we haven't.
So we got to check it out this year.
Yes, it will be. Right now, it is scheduled to be, and I don't expect this to change at this point, but it should be in the Grand Ballroom in the Sheridan, and that will be Saturday night, one show at 7 and one at 8:30.
Fantastic.
So, yes, and so that still gives people time to go do other stuff afterwards and, get a good start to their evening getting to do something like this. So I'm excited to see it as well.
Yep, definitely. So, Carol, if folks want to find out a little bit more about your track, where do they need to go online?
The best place to get the information that's the most current and sort of up to the minute is going to be our Facebook page, which if you just put in Dragon Con Urban Fantasy as a search in Facebook, it will take you directly to it.
Okay.
And that is active all year long. Now, this time of year, it's more so, but I do keep that going all year. It doesn't, you know, go into any kind of slumber during the off months or anything. I try to keep it, you know, and you know, active so that people can stay involved all year long. We do have a Twitter account, which this time of year is a bit more active, but not as much, not as much so during the off months. Mm-hmm. And that one is Urban Fantasy DC. Urban and Fantasy and D and C are all capitalized, the first letter of Urban Fantasy. And those are good ways to do, to find out information. Also, if people ever want to get in touch, please feel free to send me a message. The personal messages on the Facebook page come directly to me. Also, there is a contact on the track website, which is available. You know, it's linked to the main Dragon Con website, mm-hmm. and you can get there that way. And that information right now is updated as well, and it does have a contact form there for getting in touch if people need to.
Fantastic. Well, Carol, thank you so much for joining us and giving us a little preview of the Urban Fantasy track. It sounds like it's going to be an exciting year.
It really is, and thank you so much for having me on, and I hope that we will see you and if your listeners as well. I hope that it's going to be a great year for everyone.
All right, last on our interview schedule, but not the least, because it's one of our favorite subjects, of course, is Brandi Rotzi, and she is the director of Star Wars Track.
All right, folks, joining us next is the director of the Star Wars Track at Dragon Con. She is Brandi Rotzi. Brandi, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
And of course, Star Wars has been really big in the news of late with The Last Jedi and Star Wars Rebels and
Rogue One
and all that other great stuff.
The new Han Solo movie.
Yeah, all the great stuff and the not-so-great stuff, I guess, with the Han Solo movie. Tell us a little bit about how all this craziness has affected your track and, you know, have you seen a lot more interaction or is it just everybody excited? How has it all transpired for you?
Well, you know, there were a couple of years ago where I was considering taking a step back because I didn't want anything to get too stale. And then all of a sudden there's this massive explosion of wonderful new things to talk about and new characters and thousands and thousands, maybe millions, I'm not sure, of new fans of all ages and all walks of life. I mean, to say that it is the best time to be a Star Wars fan, I mean, it arguably is the best time to be a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
Probably in the last 40 years.
Yeah.
And definitely before then. So.
I have to definitely agree with you there. I mean, obviously, Reed and I are longtime Star Wars fans. You know,
oh, yeah.
We grew up on the original trilogy.
And we tried to ignore the prequels.
We did not
try
to. We actually were all excited about the prequels.
Well, we were excited. We watched them, and now we pretend they don't exist.
It was like fanboys, you know, where we're all excited, you know, to see the prequels. And then, yeah. Okay. No, we won't talk about
that. We were all super excited.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we still were excited for 2. And then we were still excited for 3. And to be fair, I still love episode 3.
Yeah.
I think it's fabulous.
Yeah. You know, I won't use the fabulous word, but I do think of the 3 prequels, it was definitely the best of the 3.
Yeah, sure. Actually, I agree with Jason there. It's even the musical score in 3 was so much better than the other 2.
Well, that's the great thing that the prequels do have is the amazing, amazing score by John Williams. Absolutely.
Absolutely agree with you on that one.
So tell us what's going on with the track. What do you have planned?
Well, I know you're going to be shocked, but we're probably going to talk about Star Wars.
No!
Really?
Yeah. Maybe not specifically each individual property, because as far as I'm concerned, it's all one saga at this point. It's all the same universe. We are going to talk about Rebels, since we're going to the last season.
Mm-hmm.
We're really lucky we have Henry Gilroy coming back this year, who is producer, director, writer for Clone Wars and Rebels, alongside Dave Filoni. I wish Filoni would come to Dragon Con, but I'm sure he's super busy getting ready for the last season.
Of course.
We have Steve Blum as well coming, who is, oh my gosh, I just got his name. Zeb. He's on Rebels, which is exciting. So we're going to talk to them, and of course we're going to have our ridiculous speculation panel on The Last Jedi, because we get another Star Wars movie this year.
Yep.
I can only imagine how wild and crazy that panel is going to get.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of our speculation has been dead on, and then, you know, some of it's been absolutely terrible. Yeah. Thank goodness the Millennium Falcon didn't blow up.
And Luke's going to the dark side.
Right. So, those are always entertaining, just for fun, really, because we're not industry insiders. But, you know, course, that's the big thing about Dragon Con. It's fan run. It's by fans, for fans. We don't get the inside information. But, you know, they're all tight-lipped. No one really has inside information at this point. So,
So do you have any other guests for this year?
We do. We have the original Chewbacca, Peter Mayhew himself. And from the prequels, we have young Boba Fett, Daniel Logan.
Oh, cool.
Which is really exciting. But our author lineup this year is astounding. We have Timothy Zahn, Michael Stackpole, Kevin J. Anderson. But we also have Delilah Dawson, whose new book Phasma comes out Thursday night at Dragon Con.
Cool.
And Claudia Gray, whose new Leia book, and who also wrote Bloodline, which was a Leia book. The Leia book comes out Force Friday at Dragon Con. And then we have E.K. Johnson, who wrote the Ahsoka book. So we have power players as far as the authors go this year.
So are all of those authors part of the new extended universe, or some of them part of the old extended universe?
So KJA and Michael Stackpole are part of Legends. Timothy Zahn, as you all know, Thrawn has now come back into canon.
Yes.
From Rebels and then the new book. And then the ladies are all new canon.
Ah, okay. Cool. Now, one of the things that we've kind of noticed is how they've kind of tried to slip some of the classic canon into the new canon, especially with Rebels and some of the things that we had in Rogue One. And what do you think? You think they didn't exactly totally ditch the old canon, that maybe they're just kind of bringing it back in slowly but surely?
They're definitely sneaky with it. and it's surprising. It's keeping it fresh and it's keeping it new. And I'm a big fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and how the TV shows tie in and all the movies tie in. And I love continuity. So I'm psyched at what they're doing with the story group. And, you know, they're all fans first, knowing several of them personally. So we're in such good hands. They're making good decisions, and it's all just super entertaining at this point. So I think it's exciting to see what they're deciding to bring back.
So I had a question. Is there going to be any panels this year in regards to what Disney is doing in regards to the new land and the new fully immersive hotel and stuff like that?
Well, we're partnering with the Kaleidoscope Track, who handles more of the Disney stuff and very family-friendly programming. And I believe it's scheduled for Sunday at 2:30 as a Disney and Star Wars panel where we're going to talk. I think we even have one of the merchandising consultants that's going to be on that panel, which is super exciting to hear. You know, everybody signed an NDA, so we're not going to be able to know a ton of stuff. But, I mean, it is super exciting to see the concept art and all of that. The price tag is going to be really steep.
Oh, yeah.
People are going to have to choose probably between Dragon Con or, you know, becoming a Star Wars character for their fully immersive experience. Yeah. But actually, I think Dragon Con's cheaper at this point. So just come on. It's like being in the movies anyway.
What fully immersive experience. Yeah,
Brandy, I got to admit to you that that might not be much of a hard decision there. I'm sorry.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what sold Dragon Con for me to start with, is I felt like I was walking in the movies.
That's
and
true.
Luckily, at Dragon Con, you can have Stormtroopers, and you can have your Sith Lords, and then you've got, like, your Dothraki and your Spartans, and I guarantee you we're going to have some Amazons this year, so it's everything. You don't have to pick if you come to Dragon Con.
Very true.
I actually had a couple of the, what are they called, the Yawas?
Jawas.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yawas. You went full Spanglish on us.
It's definitely exotic.
I was at Disney and there was a couple Jawas trying to kidnap me.
Yes. And I was going to make a deal, but, you know, I don't know. They didn't give me the right price.
Are you saying you're shiny?
I'm shiny.
Let's tie in all the different fandoms of Dragon.
There you go.
So how about any evening events? Or do you guys have any parties, any charity events going on?
Yeah, so the last party on Alderaan has moved to a bigger ballroom. You guys are the first people to hear this. We have moved from the Imperial Ballroom, which was fun, but always super packed. Mm-hmm. There was a line for 6 to 8 hours throughout the entire party, and we just couldn't fit everybody in. So we are going to be, I'm not sure if we're the first party, because they might be doing something Thursday night or Friday night. Mm-hmm. But Saturday night at Dragon Con, the electro house dance pop music spun by a Dark Lord of the Sith DJ who's professional. It's sort of the club experience at Dragon Con. We'll be in the Hilton, 10 o'clock Saturday night.
Wow.
Very cool. Very cool.
That's awesome. All right. So, Brandy, if somebody wants to find out a little bit more about your track, where do they go? What do they do?
Well, as always, DragonCon.org is your number one place for all of the most up-to-date information, but you can link to us from there, or we are on Facebook, which is Star Wars at Dragon Con. We do have a group and a page. We are on Twitter, which is SWATDC, sort of the initials, Star Wars at Dragon Con, and then we are www.swatdc.com as well.
Fantastic. Brandy, thank you so much for giving us a little few minutes of your time. We know how busy you are right now, so thank you for that, and we look forward to seeing you at Dragon Con.
Well, thanks so much for having me on, and yeah, come see us. We're starting all of our painting for our fully immersive Star Wars at Dragon Con Marriott track room, so come see us.
Fantastic. All right, that does it for our Dragon Con interviews, and we want to thank everybody that was able to join us. James and Karen from Military Sci-Fi, Carol from Urban Fantasy, Brandy, of course, from Star Wars, and coming up next, we're going to talk Doctor Who and, of course, Brit Track.
The Terminus Doctor Who Podcast. Queer. Opinionated. Whovian. Female. The Terminus Podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and many other favorite podcatchers. You can find us online at terminus.libsyn.com, or on Twitter at terminuscast, or on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/terminusdwpodcast, or finally on Tumblr at terminusdwpodcast.tumblr.com. Be sure to check us out there and subscribe to keep up with new episodes. Alonzi.
Hello, this is Nick Briggs, the voice of the Daleks, and you're listening to Transmissions from Atlantis. And I urge you to listen, or you will be exterminated!
No! When I say no, you turn back around. Hey! I'm going to be dead in a few hours, so before I go, let's have this out, you and me, once and for all. Winning? Is that what you think it's about? I'm not trying to win. I'm not doing this because I want to beat someone, or because I hate someone, or because I want to blame someone. It's not because it's fun. God knows it's not because it's easy. It's not even because it works, because it hardly ever does. I do what I do because it's right. Because it's decent. And above all, it's kind. It's just that. just kind. If I run away today, good people will die. If I stand and fight, some of them might live. Maybe not many, maybe not for long. Hey, you know, maybe there's no point in any of this at all, but it's the best I can do. So I'm going to do it, and I will stand here doing it till it kills me. You're going to die too. Someday. What would that be? Have you thought about it? What would you die for? Who I am. It's where I stand, where I stand. It's where I fall. Stand with me. These people are terrified. Maybe we can help. A little. Why not? Just at the end. Just be kind.
All right, folks, you all know that music, and it's
Woo!
Time. Yes, thank you.
You didn't give me the chance to do it.
Woo! Yeah. Okay. Right, you got it out of your system?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. So, you know, every year we try to get Caro to join us for to tell us all about what's going on Brit Track, and the last few years she's been so busy she hasn't been able to join us. So, in her stead, we're going to mention a little bit about what's coming on Brit Track, and particularly what's going on with Doctor Who, because... obviously, a lot of you folks listen to this podcast strictly because we all love Doctor Who, and we have a Doctor Who segment every single week. So, what's going on with Doctor Who at Brit Track?
All right. Well, they always have pretty impressive guests most years. But this year...
They've outdone themselves.
They've really outdone themselves. They've got Matt Smith, people.
The 11th Doctor.
The 11th Doctor.
Not the 7th Doctor, not a classic Doctor, not that we don't love, you know, Sylvester McCoy and Peter Davison and all the classic Doctors, but this is a new Who Doctor.
And wasn't he supposed to be at Dragon Con another year, but he canceled?
He wasn't able to make it. But this year, Matt Smith at Dragon Con.
And Karen Gillan.
Yes, Karen Gillan, Amy Pond is at Dragon Con with the 11th Doctor.
And Jason's happy because I'm going to let him, you know, take a picture with her, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah. Giggity, giggity.
Also on the lineup, Billy Piper.
Yes, Rose is there. Rose, the companion that started the reboot.
That's right. And...
My personal favorite.
Alex Kingston.
Yes.
And... John Barrowman.
Together. Can you imagine? The universe is going to explode.
The universe is going to explode when all five of these people get together at the con.
That is going to be... I don't care what time we have to get to be in line for that freaking panel, but...
We will see that panel. I don't care what time it's
going to
be.
I don't care if we're in line for 5 hours. We are going to see that flipping panel. I'm sorry.
And just so you guys know, just because Brit Track is in the Hilton doesn't mean that panel's going to be at the Hilton.
No, that's probably going to be at the Marriott.
Because at the main ballroom.
Yeah, because usually the big events at Dragon Con take advantage of the much larger ballrooms in the Marriott. So expect to be at the Marriott for some of these really big events, like this Doctor Who lineup, which is absolutely ridiculous.
I
mean...
I'm just flabbergasted at the... I mean, only person we're missing in this lineup is Arthur.
Yeah, I mean, if it's too bad Arthur couldn't make it, because, I mean, we would have the entire Pond family plus the 11th Doctor.
Right?
That's amazing.
We would have had the husband, the wife, Actually, that whole thing gets really convoluted, yep. Doesn't it?
And the mother that's the wife.
And the child, the father,
I've already lost it. I don't know. Anyway. It's Doctor Who.
It's still a really impressive lineup.
Yes, it doesn't have to make sense. It's Doctor Who.
So, yeah, we're definitely getting pictures with Matt Smith and Karen. Alex, we've already had a picture with.
We've had a couple, I think, now.
Yeah.
And Billy Piper, we've never had the opportunity to have a picture with. John Barrowman, we've got a picture, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, so really the only ones we need to get is Billy, Karen, and Matt. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I'm definitely having my picture with Karen. Giggity giggity.
Oh, yeah.
What? What'd you give me that look for?
Riddits.
Stop looking at me like that.
Yeah, it's not like you didn't let me get a picture with Joe What's-His-Name a few years ago.
Yeah, True Blood, Mr. Hunky Pants.
That's right. He's still hot.
Joe Mantinga or whatever the heck
is that. That guy can probably be 70 years old and he'd still be beefy and hot.
Okay, you can stop now.
What?
Yeah, you can stop. You can stop. Thank you. But yeah, so great Doctor Who lineup for Brit Track. As always, Brit Track will have panels on Sherlock. I believe they have some guests for Dirk Gently this year. I don't think they have any Broadchurch guests, but they usually have Broadchurch panels, Red Dwarf panels, all kinds of cool stuff that's from the British scene.
Yeah, so there's definitely going to be Downton Abbey. There'll be panels on that.
Always talk about Downton Abbey and a whole bunch of other British shows that you may not have never heard of. So don't forget, this year, Brit Track is at the Hilton.
Yes.
Thank you, God. But yes, at the Hilton. So we will actually be able to attend some of these panels.
That's right.
So you'll definitely find us somewhere around there at Brit Track. If you don't find us at American Sci-Fi, you'll find us at Brit Track for sure. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this particular episode of Transmissions from Atlantis. We hope you enjoyed the interviews with James and Karen for Military Sci-Fi, Carol from Urban Fantasy, and Brandy with Star Wars. We're going to be at Dragon Con. Hopefully you'll be at Dragon Con. And when we come back from Dragon Con, we'll have a full recap of everything that happened. And some of the stuff that happens at Dragon Con must stay at Dragon Con. So
yes,
we won't tell you everything about it, but we'll definitely be participating. And don't forget, on ESO has this amazing, amazing Dragon Con podcast
called
The Con Report.
Yes. Con!
So go to ESOpodcast.com and find The Con Report, because if you've never been to Dragon Con before, it is the perfect way to prepare yourself for the first time going to Dragon Con. There's, I think, 6 or 7 episodes of it for this year.
Yep, but Mike has always been really good about, you know, telling you what's what, and especially if you're new to Dragon Con.
Yep, and from what I understand, very soon, the Con Report is going to be its own thing. To where it's not going to be necessarily part of the ESO network. It's going to be its own, like, page and podcast, and it's going to have its own iTunes stream, so it's becoming a big deal now.
Nice, very nice.
Yep. So,
and also keep in mind, you know, for those newbies, for Dragon Con Thursdays, they always have
orientation
yep. tours.
Yep.
If you've never been to Dragon Con, sign up for one of those, because it's so informative.
Yep. And it shows you where everything's at, and you can get really overwhelmed by the amount of people and the amount of craziness that happens at Dragon Con. The important thing to remember is you may have schedules, but don't worry about your schedule.
Yeah.
Because 9 times out of 10,
you're going to, ball that up and
wad
of paper and just chuck it out the window.
Just go where the flow takes you. You know, that's, you know, try to hit some of the panels that you want to hit, but, you know, just be realistic about it and just enjoy the experience of Nerdvana.
Yes, exactly.
Because that's
I couldn't have put it better myself.
Because that's basically all it is. So until hopefully we make it back from Dragon Con, I'm assuming we will at some point. And when we do, we'll be talking to you. So until next time.
Elonzi.
Goodbye, everybody.
Elonzi. I should say Elonzi. Allons-y. Look sharp, Rose Tyler. Allons-y. And then, it'd be really brilliant if I met someone called Alonzo, because then I could say Allons-y, Alonzo, everything.
Hey, hey, hey. Just think while you and Moose were hunting down the monsters and the dirty ghosts of the world, you could have been getting down to this Dean Munn.
Bye, X-Man. Find a new best friend. He's like, what the f***? I'm just gonna shake into the lady over there with the hella good hair. Won't you come on over, baby? We can shake, shake, shoot. Yeah.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.